Let them know how much you appreciate it. Outstanding. Isn't that amazing? And you know, usually, you know, you see Ben Vegas, like he comes out and plays that crazy hot guitar. Usually in the world, when people do that, they have to have a lot of hair, makeup, tongue, and big high heels. He just comes out just as a clean-cut Portuguese, and he outplays them all. Say thank you again to our band. Man. Do you know that in the last 2 weeks alone, 174 people have received Jesus Christ right here. Last 2 weeks. And you know what? I didn't lead them to the Lord. We all did. People that are ushering, people that are dancing, people that are singing, those that are doing Sunday school so that parents can entrust their children so that they can come in here and hear the gospel. People running cameras, the delivery system, as it were, to take the gospel to those that are watching even by the internet right now through streaming. Those in the satellites that we will continue to build so that they can hear the gospel. And when we all put our hands together, plus you, the inviters, you invite your family and friends, when we put it together, we see lives changed. And remember, the reason for our weekend services is really to partner with you in your attempts to reach your friends and families for Christ. And so we work with you, and together when their lives change, we rejoice together. That's called doing church as a team. Thank you for being a part of that. Happy anniversary. And many of you are a part of that 34,000 figure of people since the inception of New Hope that have come to Christ. But here's the interesting thing. When we come to Christ, the Bible said, because of sin, we had first rejected Christ. The wages of sin is? Now, when people are dead, it doesn't matter what you feed them. You can give them multiple vitamins, one a day. You can even give them organic oatmeal, orange juice. It won't do any good. You see, the first thing when someone is dead, before you can give them nutrients and nourishment, he has to first what? Come to life. And when we came to Christ, the Bible says we weren't sick in our sins. We were actually what? Dead. We were dead in our transgressions. Let's read this together. Go. When we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. See, we got to remember this. When someone is dead, what you feed them doesn't help. That person first has to receive the breath of life. And now you can feed them nutrients. You have come alive in Christ. There's sometimes people will say, I don't want that Jesus stuff. I live better ethical lives than most Christians do. I live more principled a life than other Christians do. And it may be true. It may be true. But if you're dead in sin, it doesn't matter how many principles you teach a cadaver. It doesn't matter if you wheel him into philosophy class. It doesn't matter if he watches a bunch of DVDs on philosophy. He has to first come to life. And that's what the Bible says. Spiritually, we were dead in sin. We cried out to Christ, and you know what? He heard your voice and said yes. Now, when you come to life, and that's what it means to be born again, God gave you life. Now, you still have barnacles of your old way of thinking still with you. You have baggage, patterns of thinking that used to work for you and then caused you death, because the wages of sin is death. Now, when you are alive now in Christ, you still have habit patterns. You still have knee-jerk reactions. You still have old ways from your old life. But they don't control you like they used to. You can now choose to say no to that temptation, no to that evil desire that used to control you, and you can kind of brush that off, scrape that off. And you'll need to do that because old habits and old patterns of thinking are simply waiting for you to say yes or no to. And if you give it permission to remain, it will start to control you again. And you'll go back to your old ways. You'll still be a Christian because, remember, you may get to heaven because not what you did, but because of what Christ has done. So when you come alive, not based on your merit, but based on His, you can get into heaven, but you won't influence anybody else to if you don't deal with old patterns. But when you say no to this and no to that and yes to Him, He is now changing you from glory to glory into His image. And you're saying no to your old life and yes to your new life in Christ. You're dying to the old and you are alive to the new. And by the way, baptism reminds you of that. You're going to be dying to the old and you're going to constantly be pressing into the new. That's how we're changed. Now, it starts with a new life. You can't be dead and say, I'll just take on Christian principles. No, you've got to come to life in Christ. And that's why receiving Christ is absolutely crucial as your first step. Then we start eating organic oatmeal or whatever so that we can get stronger in Christ. Because remember, if you keep the old barnacles on you, you'll still probably get to heaven because of what Christ has done, not you. But you won't show anybody else the way. You'll get to heaven, but you won't influence anyone on earth. And the reason God saved us and kept us on the earth is so that we will influence this earth. We are visitors here now with a purpose. We were dead like everybody else, but the Lord says, now you are alive. I give you a new citizenship, and this world isn't your home anymore. But I'm going to put you here for a season as an ambassador for Christ, because there's a lot of people that want to find out, how do you come alive? How can I find my way home? And we must show them as a light shining in the wilderness, the Bible says. But if we don't take care of the barnacles and our old ways still permeate us, then we can't show them the way because they don't see any difference between us and them. So we've got to understand that we are ambassadors for Christ. How many of us would say, and you attest to the fact that we've come a long way, but we still have a long way to go? Raise your hand. Yeah. Well, you know what we're going to do is we're actually going to use a little bit of technology today. So I want you to take out your cell phones. This is the only time you can use your cell phone in church. So take out your cell phones. Now, if you don't know how to text, ask a young person near you how to do that. But learn how to text, because we actually what we're about to do is we will actually use this in the future to get your interaction on certain things. I'm going to ask you some questions, and you can actually, like American Idol, vote, and you're going to see on this screen, real time, your voting results come up just that fast, because it's going to go through the internet and it's going to come down. In fact, those of you that are by internet, you can vote as well, because it's going through the World Wide Web and it will come down on our screen here. So what I'd like you to do is we're going to talk about how, indeed, we still have some barnacles left on us, and we have learned some things from the world, and we have to unlearn it. And that's why times like this are so important. Many of you have come alive in Christ. Now you're learning how to walk in Christ. And so you're learning how to let go of a few things, say no to them, and now you have the power to say no. Whereas before you'd say no, but it controlled you. Now you say no in the name of Christ, and every knee must bow. And so you begin to walk in Christ, in the power of Christ. When you were dead in your trance, don't call people now. It's not a time to go, hey, I got to call my girlfriend. Hey, how's it? No, we're going to use this, so keep it ready. Text mode, all right. But when you come alive in Christ, now you're learning to say no, and you have the power now of choice. When you say no, this stuff falls off of you. If you don't, then it'll stay on and start to control you. That's why James chapter 4 says this, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So that's why we're here, to learn now how to grow in Christ. But the first is to come alive. But many of us still have the trappings of the old, so we're going to use some technology to see how we're doing in these areas. Okay, So we're going to text. Now, I want you to open up your text, and the address that you're going to send this to will be 41411. So instead of Uncle Joe or Aunt Jessie, it's now 41411. That's the name of this group right here that we're going to put it up, all right? And then once you get that, that's the address. Now go into your message line, new message, new text, and then put the word cast, like you're going to cast a vote, cast an answer. So you write the word C-A-S-T and then put a space. Now, when I show you the questions, each one will have a number. 1, 2, 3, 4 is number one. If you want to choose number two, it'll be 1, 2, 3, 5 or something like that. And so you punch the number cast space 1, 2, 3, 5 send. All right? So it's going to 1411. You keep that in the address line, and you can just do the cast space numbers again and again. So we'll have about eight or so questions. Okay? Are you ready? All right. Now, this is going to be absolutely anonymous. All we're doing is getting an accumulation of votes, so don't worry about anybody finding out who wrote these things or sent them, because that won't happen. That'll just come up in an accumulative total, all right? And some of these might get a little personal, so if you want to shroud your text thing, that's okay. That's all right. But I need you to be completely, totally, brutally honest, and I need as many of you as possible to participate. But this will just show us where we are as a church. Okay, are you ready? All right. All right. So you got all of that? 41411 cast. All right, here's the first question, and here it is. How often do you do your devotions each week? If you do it between 5 and 7 days, cast space 5182. If it's between 3 and 4 days, cast space 5183. Or if it's 0 to 2 days, 5184. All right, go ahead. Some people are voting already. All right. Okay, keep going. It'll move around a little bit as people vote. So go ahead, press that in, cast space, and put in your number, and put send, and then it'll go. Okay? Some people are trying out new rings. You're in the wrong mode. No, no. Okay, text. Okay, keep going. All right? Now, interestingly, we are a church that we like nail devotions like psychotics. We just go after it. But you see, still, there's a whole bunch of us that still need to put in effect what we're learning. Otherwise, we can't make Mondays count. So we'll learn more and more and more, but we won't apply. That's what this whole series is, and we're going to find out sort of where we are. Okay? All right. So, it's good. All right? Next one here. Next one is this. This is for those of you that are married. Those of you that are married, your marriage is excellent, average, or poor. Okay, your husband is not looking, so just go ahead. Can't track it down. All right, excellent. You cast 5185, average 8302, poor 8303. So you write cast, space, and just go ahead and put the number. Nobody's looking. Nobody's looking. Okay? Go ahead. Cast. How's your marriage doing? Okay? Some people are changing their minds. Come on. The excellence are winning. Go, horse, go. Uh-oh. It just went back a little bit. Okay. All right. Elwin just voted. Okay. Oh, there we go. All right, we're starting to get, back again. Okay. Good, good. All right. All right, the next question. Next question is this. As a Christian, you feel that you differ from non-Christians how much? A lot, not much, we're the same. All right, if you think you, looking at your life and your lifestyle, and if they said they could tell that you were a Christian, would you say, yeah, I differ from them a lot, cast 8304. Not much, cast 8652. About the same. They can't tell us apart that much. I got to be honest. 8653. All right, go ahead. Just cast space, put the number in, and you can see people voting right now. Go ahead. Okay, those of you that are watching, get a phone that can text and ask your son or daughter how to do it. You're just sitting there, what is this? Because in the future, we'll actually be doing more of this. And now, by the way, the results of this will be posted on enewhope.org tomorrow morning or so, so that you can go to enewhope.org and actually see where we are in these different ones. And in the future, we'll be doing more of this. That allows us to be interactive. I'll ask you things about the shuttle or parking or how can we improve New Hope. And I'll need you to let me know, and then we can move on it so we'll know where to expend our finances, our time, etc., so that we'll make what God is calling us to do more and more effective as the days go by, and your help is very, very important, okay? I can lead it, but I can't do it all, so I need your help in this, and so we'll take some of these polls. Okay, let's continue. All right, the next one. Christians, as far as you know, Christians that you know, as far as you know, in your perception, in your perspective, Christians, are they mostly genuine? Are they slightly hypocritical? Or are they legalistic? If you're just saying, you know, you're a non-Christian person, you're looking at us, Christians that you know, and you said, Christians, they're kind of what? Okay, write them down. What do you think? If it's genuine, all the Christians you know are genuine, 8785. Slightly hypocritical, 8786. And legalistic, 8787. All right? Write that down. And write that down now, or you'll go to hell. That's legalistic. Yeah. All right, no. Okay. Here we go. Starting to do some stuff here, doing the polka. Keep going. Good. All right, there's quite a few slightly hypocrites here. All right. Good, 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 good. Okay, are you ready? All right, the next one. Next one. Do you cuss? All right. Do you cuss in public or in private, or I don't cuss at all? If just in private 9525. And it's not just like, oh, shucks. It's the next generation of vocabulary. And be honest, because I hear you on the H1. Okay. Do you cuss just in private? I cuss in public, or I don't cuss at all. All right, go ahead. Oh, okay, there's some public cussers in our church. Don't get them mad in public. Good, good, okay, we got some cussers. We have people that express yourself. Okay. Now, they're going to get a little bit more personal, but this is all anonymous, so just shroud your thing, and here it is. I gossip. Do you gossip? Not at all, cast 708. Once in a while, cast space 926. Somewhat often, I gossip. Be honest, cast space 927. Okay, we got gossipers right here. Okay. All right. Interesting, isn't it? It's all real time. And so this is where we are as a general summary. Okay, gonna go a little bit more, a little deeper now. Here we go. Since becoming a Christian, I have had sex outside of marriage. So, yeah. Since becoming a Christian, and this could be single people or married people, because outside of the framework of marriage, since you've become a Christian, have you had sex outside of that one circle of fidelity? Okay? Be honest. Nobody's going to watch. Just shroud it like this. Same. Say, what if it was 20 years ago? Were you a Christian? Yes. Okay. Then 928. Go ahead. This is the bare truth here, folks. Because otherwise, we're just going to play church. See, we don't want to play church. We want to be a people with whom Mondays count. So, because this is for real, folks. This is the souls out there that are going to hell really do. And if we don't show them the way home, well, then why? Well, maybe some of the barnacles are still on us. You're alive in Christ. We have a good heart for Christ, but we have to learn how to scrape certain patterns of thinking off and ways of living. So these are good. Okay? Good. All right? And then, if no one, there was never a chance of anyone finding out, never in the world, no one will ever find out, would you, one, have sex outside of marriage? No one will ever find out, and you were guaranteed that. Two, I'd do drugs. Three, I'd have someone exterminated. Now, it's not, I've heard you, some of you pray, Lord, get rid of my ex, you know, stuff like that. And what if he did do that? What if that happened? Would you be like, that's cool, that is cool. I didn't do it. Okay? Hey, vote. Okay? Hey, if no one ever found out, I'd like to try drugs. Hey, if no one ever found out, I'd like to have sex with concubines or whatever. That's cool. All right? Okay? Some of you are changing your minds here. All right? That's okay. Pretty interesting. So there's some people in our church that you don't want to mess with. Don't mess with New Hope people, dude. All right. Very interesting. Very interesting. And you see, this one will talk about motives that are still alive within us. So we still have to work against certain desires that still have a root of control in us. Because those old desires that controlled us, once you come alive in Christ, they don't control you anymore unless you keep giving it permission to remain in you, and then it bores a root down inside of you. Now you got to fight with that desire because it becomes your enemy. And then here's one more here. When do you think you're speeding? When you go 1 mile over the speed limit? 5 to 10? 10 to 20, and then I'm speeding. Or only if you get caught. When do you think you're speeding? What do you think? Go ahead. Throw some votes up there. It's anonymous. Nobody's going to know. Okay, we got some speeders in our church here. Look at that. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Oh, someone just got convicted, I guess. I don't know. Either that or a demon just left. Okay. Isn't that fun? And so the results will actually be up on our website, and it'll be accumulating all of the satellites and all of the other services and what they voted to. So it'll be an interesting mix to see. But all that to say is we're going to use this a little bit more. So it's a special program that we have. And so learn to do texts on your phone. And as we go on in this next 13, 14, 15 years, we'll all be able to give input on missions or on improving churches or doing this or satellites or, you know, whatever. And so many, many things. We can almost have a quick business meeting, as it were, in a few minutes in our church, and we'll know exactly where everybody's at and what their hearts are. And also about things like this, so that you can do it anonymously. In fact, how many of you thought this really was anonymous? Ha, 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 I fool you! No, it is. Yeah. You'll get a thing in your email. Your next counseling appointment is... You better be there, dude. But these things will just help us. But all of that to say is, all of us, if we still have barnacles of our old ways, though we are alive in Christ, because when you cried out to God, God chose you, chose to listen to you, chose to bring you to life, and you did. Now your responsibility is to drop off by choosing all of the old patterns of thinking and replace it with biblical thinking, the old way of reacting, and now accepting God's way of responding. The old way of thinking, setting on the old lusty worldly ways or whatever, and then saying no to that. That's not who I am. That's not who I am. And often we will sing these songs, I know who I am, and we'll hear it again and again. We must, those, you can't lie when you sing those songs. We got to say, yeah, I know who I am, and that's who I'm going to be. And little by little, and we all make mistakes, folks. I do too. We mess up, and that's why you need patience and not legalism with one another. And sometimes Christians think, well, I'm righteous, and you make a mistake, I'm just going to condescend on you, and I'm righteous to do so. No, 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 no. We all... our lights flicker from time to time, and we get to be patient, knowing that we are all alive in Christ, and we're still learning to say no to some habits that have been deeply entrenched in us. And for us to be impatient is really a selfish motive on our part, self-righteous. And when we say you're the one who's sinning, actually you are the one that is worst off, because you have such a selfish kind of self-righteous motive, and it's legalism that's coming in. Now, can it be mistaken by people on the outside? Sure. People on the outside say, hey, listen, you guys don't live as righteous a life as I do, and I've got ethics and principles, and it may be true. But as I said, if you're dead in your sins, it doesn't matter how many principles you have. You've got to first come to Christ and come alive as you cry out to him, and he gives you breath. And now you partner with him in a relationship as the Holy Spirit helps you to change your speech, change the way you think, change the way you act, change the way you respond. The patterns of anger that used to be there, you get to say no to that. And the no that you have now is far more powerful than the no you had when you were dead in sin. You had no strength. Sin had control over you. But now you have control over sin. Question is, will you use that authority and say no? And then little by little, you start to be transformed into the image of Christ. Now, if there's anybody knows about this that knows about this dichotomy of believing one thing and living another way, it'd be Peter. Peter would say one day, Lord, I am with you. I got your back. Within a few sentences later, Jesus is saying to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. It was a time when he said, Lord, I'll never leave you. I'll be with you. And then a short while after, he is denying Christ. And if he took this poll on the one about cussing, he'd have to say, I cuss in public, because that's exactly what happened. The Bible said he swore at a slave girl and said, I don't know this man called the Christ. Then he backslides. Jesus meets him on the shore of Galilee. Reinstates, reenlists him. And now he writes a book called 1 Peter because he knows his roller coaster life, and he knows that we will suffer the same, and he gives us words of encouragement. And the first one he's going to give us today is a word about identity, to not forget who you are. So at the top of our notes, would you turn there and let's read together right at the top what he says in 1 Peter 2, 11 through 12. Let's read it. Go. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You are aliens and strangers here, so keep away from evil desires, because they fight against your very souls. Be careful how you live among your unbelieving neighbors. Even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior, and they will believe and give honor to God when he comes to judge the world. Would you circle a chosen race? A chosen race. Why did he choose us? Would you underline the words, to proclaim the excellencies of him? And then underline another point of identity. You are aliens and strangers. And because of that, underline a last phrase that says, be careful how you live. We're going to talk about this, but let's start with the identity part. Did you know that you were chosen not because of your pedigree or your color or your height or skills? You were not chosen by God because of your lineage or your parentage. You were chosen, the Bible says, because of his love. Because he loved you. He chose you. We did nothing to merit that. We did nothing at all to gain his favor, but God, by Jesus Christ's favor and what he has done, he has given us his choice, and he chose us. But he chose us for a purpose, folks. You haven't been just chosen just to be chosen. You have been chosen, why? Because you have been chosen for a specific purpose. Would you write that in? You've been chosen for a specific purpose. What was that? To proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his light. Let's read what it says here under that one fill in the blank. There's a scripture, 1 Peter 2:10. Read it with me. Go. So that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. See, John 15 says it in this way. Let's read it. Go. You didn't choose me. I chose you and appointed you to go and produce fruit that will... Sometimes young people will come to me and say, Wayne, I tell you what, I was a mistake. My parents really didn't want me. I just feel terrible. I said, listen, no. Do you exist? What? Do you exist? Yeah. Then you were chosen by God. Don't get so messed up with the delivery system that you miss your eternal assignment. Because if God didn't want you, if God hadn't chosen you to be one of his, you wouldn't even exist. And don't get enamored with this earth suit. Because this is very temporary. Right now, you're whipping through space at 66,000 miles an hour. Spinning on its axis, going through space in a circular orbit at 66,000 miles an hour. And you're here just for a few spins and you're done. Don't get so enamored with your earth suit or your name or lineage. Because God has chosen you for a specific purpose, and that is for the split moment of time to represent him on the earth. When he brought you alive, it wasn't just to jettison you into heaven, propel you into cyberspace to get you into infinity. He kept you and me on this earth, and he says, now grow, remove some of the old so that people will see an ever-increasing image of Christ. You are an ambassador for Christ. I chose you. So don't get so enamored with this stuff here, because you're here for a moment and then you're gone. But while you're here, influence the earth so that people will see that you're an alien. You're a visitor here on purpose. I chose you. Why me? I don't know. But God chose you. And for the fact that you exist and you are now alive tells me that God chose you for his purpose. Don't forget who you are. Doesn't matter. Well, I'm adopted. Doesn't matter. Oh, I've been, my parents said I was a mistake. Doesn't matter. I don't know who my dad is. Do you exist? Yeah. Are you in Christ? Yeah. You are chosen. Don't get so enamored with the other stuff that it messes your brain up to the point where you miss your eternal assignment. One of the people I think that has helped me so much to understand how precious and chosen you are is none other than Dr. Seuss. Dr. Seuss is a great poet that writes children's books. One of my favorite poems, very fitting for today on our 13th birthday, is the poem, Happy Birthday to Me. It goes like this. If you'd never been born, what would you be? You could have been a rock or a toad or a tree. Or worse than all that, you could have been a wasn't. Now, a wasn't has no fun at all. No, he doesn't. A wasn't just isn't. He isn't present. But you're right here. Now, isn't that pleasant? Today, you are you. And it's truer than true that there's no one alive that is youer than you. Shout out loud, I'm glad of who I am. Thank God I'm not a rock, a clam, or a ham, or a dusty old jar of gooseberry jam. I am what I am, and it's a great thing to be. If I should say so myself, happy birthday to me. Happy anniversary. But God has chosen us for a specific purpose. But remember this. He's called us by a funny name. We are called aliens and strangers. But we're visitors with a purpose. From the beginning of time, the scripture says, before the creation of the world, he chose us through Christ now, as we are born again, to be holy and perfect in his presence, which means little by little, old things pass away. And because of his love, he had already decided to adopt us through Jesus Christ. Why did he do this? He freely chose. You are chosen. That's your status. Chosen. Chosen. But you're aliens. What do you mean? You see, when you came to life again, you're different. You're a whole new creation. If someone was dead and they came back to life, you'd say, whoa, this is different. Well, you are different. You now represent heaven. You have been given a second chance spiritually. You have been given new life. And now you're going to work off all of those old patterns. So little by little, like a breaking of the crust, people see more and more of God and less of the old you. That's why John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. That's what he was saying. But you're an alien here. You're different. You're not of the rest. But you're here for a purpose. And you're here but for a moment. Don't forget who you are. You have a purpose. You're different. I remember the first time I noticed this, I got off the plane in Japan and I went through immigration. And all the Japanese were filing to one side and it said, Japanese nationals, residents of Japan, here. And then they had another sign. Guess what it said? Alien. I thought, that's me. Nanu, nanu, you know. And you go over to this thing, you know. But then I thought, yeah, I do. I think differently. I have a different language. I'm from a different country. My provision is from another country. And that's what God means when he says you're an ambassador for Christ. If you're an ambassador from the U.S. and you're in Belgium, let's say, now but you're an ambassador of the U.S., all right? Now, where do you get your salary from? Belgium? No, if you're an ambassador of the U.S., who pays you your salary? U.S., they provide for you. Where do you get your instructions from? Your home country, that's right. Yep, and what do you think like? The U.S. The same is true when God says you are ambassadors for Christ in a foreign land called this earth that's spinning around and people need to find their way home. But if we don't look any different, you may get to heaven, but you won't influence anybody to do the same. But that's our purpose here. Not to get to heaven. That's already taken care of by you receiving Jesus Christ. The rest of your purpose is not just for you to get to heaven. It's to try and get others to heaven. That's why he says you're ambassadors for Christ. This is not your home, folks. You don't belong to this land. You don't belong here. I have heard people say, you know, I don't own a house. I don't have land here. I said, don't worry. This isn't yours anyway, but I need to own land. How many of you own a house? Raise your hand. How many of your homeowners? Raise your hand. Yeah. You don't own that house. Yeah, but wait a minute. I got a fee simple decree. You don't got nothing. But I own the land. No, the land was there before you were born. And when you die, the land's still going to be there. It's not your land. But what's this decree? You bought a decree that gives you stewardship over that land for a certain amount of time. That's it. And you can make money off of it. You can lose money on it. But it was there before you were born, and it's going to be there after you're born, after you die. Yeah, that land belongs to God. You can steward it. You have the right to steward it, but it's not yours. Never has been. It won't ever will be. And part of that, I think, is good for us to be reminded of, because this is not your land. We don't belong here. And if we try to blend in too much here, then no one will find their way home, even though you're their neighbor. You understand? You'll get home, but you won't influence anybody else. Then why does God leave us here? To influence other people towards home. That's what it's all about. So we've got to learn how to let go some of the old behaviors, and we are aliens. Let's read what... Oh, no. Not yet. Okay, let's say, well, what's the first characteristic of an alien? Real simple. Would you write down in that next one? Here it is. The first characteristic is that we think differently. You'll think differently. The old evil desires that used to control you, control your thinking, doesn't control my thinking anymore. Does it influence? Absolutely. Does it persuade? You bet. But I don't think that way. It's not going to control me. In fact, let's read what the scripture says under number one there. Go. Keep away from evil desires because they fight against your very souls. Satan knows that if he can infiltrate our minds and get us to think the thoughts he wants us to think, it will induce the behaviors he wants us to live. Listen carefully. Satan is a headhunter. Your mind is the battlefield, and your imagination is his trophy. If he can get your imagination, he's got you. Satan is a headhunter. Your mind is a battlefield. Your imagination is his trophy. That's why the Bible says, be careful of those evil desires that used to control you. You need to say no to that. And you can use your mind, you can use your will, you can use your volition and choice to scrape that barnacle off and say, that's not who I am. That used to be who I was, but it's not going to control me anymore. Let's read what the scripture says. The next one. Go. If your sinful nature controls your mind, there is death. But if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is life and peace. Did you get that? If the old sinful desire controls your mind, which it used to, and if you give it permission to control you again, the result will be what? Death. Your behavior will go downward. But if you say, no, the Holy Spirit's going to control my mind. The question is, who's going to control the way you think? Your flesh, other people, their mistakes, their immaturities, or the Holy Spirit? You see, for most of us, if we were honest, we let our flesh, our sinful desires, what other people do, that guy that's driving crazy on the H1, somebody else's immaturity, someone's mistake, they all control my mind. And we have become slaves to everybody else. You're on the auction block of everybody else's performance. Get off the auction block. Jesus set you free. But you see, if I let his mistake control the way I think, oh, I'm mad. Or that what she did, oh, man, she betrayed me. Or she shouldn't have done that. He shouldn't have done that. That was stupid. That's it. And I look at your disposition. Look at your attitude. What do you mean, my attitude? You're letting him control you. No, he's not. Well, sure. You become a slave again. And you're letting your evil nature or evil nature or perceived evil nature control your mind the way you think. And if Satan can control your mind, he will control everything else about you. Satan is a headhunter. But when the Lord says, no, be free from that, because you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. How did Jesus respond to those people? Did he let them control his mind? No. He let the Father control him because he was from a different place. We think differently. And then, oh, okay, get off the auction block. You're not a slave to everybody else's performance. So if you let your evil desires control your mind, it'll end up in death. But if the Holy Spirit now controls you, it'll bring life and peace. One of the first things is we think differently. And if you think differently, what'll happen? What'll happen is this. Secondly, that leads us, if you think differently, it leads us to behave, or would you write in, live in such a way that people see God. If you think differently, it will lead you to live differently. That's where it starts. Listen carefully. If you think differently, you will live differently, and people will see God more clearly. So Peter, who knows what he's talking about, says this. Let's read it. Go. Be careful how you live among your unbelieving neighbors. Even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will believe and give honor to God. And the next one, Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Listen carefully. People don't read the Bible real well, but they read Christians. People don't read the Bible, but they read Christians. And so we are the only Bible that they'll ever read. But remember this, if you think differently, you will what? You will live differently. And if you think differently and you live differently, the result will be people will see God more clearly. And isn't that what God has asked us to do? To proclaim the excellencies of Him. For the scripture says in the book of Matthew, let your light so shine before men so that they'll see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. This week you're going to have opportunities. You're going to have opportunities to proclaim the excellencies of Him through a word. Ooh, you don't think like the rest of us. Well, this is what I think. Why? Because this is what the Father thinks. See, people aren't looking for what people think. They're really looking for what God thinks. They're looking for what heaven says rather than the world says. We all know what the world says. We want to know what heaven has to say. That's when the world starts to change for the better. Isn't that right? We know how to be eloquent and kind of spin words and wordsmith so that we have neat, cool ways of having touch buttons and trigger points so people go, ooh, but really, well, you know what people are asking for down deep in their souls? They want to know what heaven has to say. And when they hear heaven, the world changes. Their lives change. And that's what God is asking of us, to be ambassadors. It's a story of a man that was a part of a ministry in 1967, and his name was Doug Nichols. He was a part of Action International Ministries that worked with the people of India that had tuberculosis. He worked with them, didn't know their language, but he worked with them and would try to pass out Gospels of John. But no one in this TB ward would ever accept one of the Gospels of John in their language. He couldn't speak their language, couldn't communicate, but these tracts were written in their language, but they wouldn't receive any of them. Well, he worked with them for so long that he contracted tuberculosis, and his body got weaker and weaker and weaker. And he tells a story of how one night he was so weak, he was actually confined to the sanitarium, is what they called it, where the other tuberculosis patients were housed. And they were wheezing and coughing. And they'd have to be tilted up and then tilted back. And it was just a horrible place where death was imminent everywhere. At 2 o'clock in the morning, he said, I woke myself up coughing and wheezing. When I finally settled down, I noticed a man next to me, very emaciated, skinny man, trying to get out of his bed. But he didn't even have strength to crawl out of his bed and stand up. And he began to whimper on the side of his mattress, whimper and cry softly. And I saw him push himself back under the covers. The next morning, the stench in that area was horrible. And people were yelling at this old man for not being able to contain himself in the night. The nurse came, even slapped him a couple of times, he said, because she was mad that each morning she has to come and clean his bed up. And this happened the second night. The third night, Doug said, I woke myself up again coughing at about 2 a.m. in the morning, and I heard this man crying softly, whimpering in the night, trying to get out of bed, and he just couldn't. He said, even though I was in my weakened state, I had much more strength than this man had. And he said, I got out of my bed. And when I approached him, he cowered in fear. But I slipped my arms under this emaciated, skinny frame, and I carried him to the bathroom, which was no more than a hole in the ground. And Doug said, after he was done, I cleaned him up and carried him back to his bed. And when I put the covers over him, he kissed his fingers and touched my cheek. The only gesture that he knew how to make to say thank you, because we didn't share the same language. The next morning, Doug said, for the first time since I've been working with these people, I was awakened at about 6:30 in the morning, and one of the other patients had made me some hot tea and brought it to me. And then the rest of the day, one by one, different patients would come, and they would motion with their hands for one of those tracts. And he said, I passed out tracts all day to these people. What happened? They caught a glimpse of heaven. The people in this sanitarium watched. They were looking for a glimpse of heaven. No, not of religion. They're steeped in religion. Not even of good principles. They have ethics. They're looking for a glimpse of heaven. And as soon as they saw it, their hearts opened up. And the Lord says, I have made you to be a chosen generation, ambassadors. I will provide for you from a different place. But you are here to proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness and into light. Because the world is waiting. The world is waiting. Oh, sorry. I forgot to turn my phone off here. Okay, all right. Okay. The world is waiting for a glimpse of heaven. And when they see it, their hearts open up and they find their way home. Don't forget who you are. You're a chosen people. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Amen.
Hey, we're almost done. Just hang in there a couple more minutes. Here's the most important thing about this service. The point of this service and every service we do here is simple. It's never meant to be an end, but a beginning. There's a feeling of conclusion you have right now in your heart. We know it. It's not bad. It's not evil. It just needs to be divinely transformed into a belief that says, when this service ends, my Christian faith begins. You see, the point is not to only receive all that this church has to offer. The point is to receive it, then give it away during the week. The point is not to make our church more exclusive, but to make Jesus available to everyone we brush up against. The point is not to pit the sacred against the secular, the Sunday against the Monday. The point is to see all of life, our church lives, our business lives, and our family lives, as divine opportunities. The point is not for you to get caught up in your own story. The point is to become fully alive to the grand story that God is telling through you. Here's the point. Church is not about church. It's about living outside these walls. So go. Be loved by God and give that love away freely to all, because there are people in your current circle of relationships who are gasping for one breath of Christ's life, and you're it. That's the point.
Let's stand as we close, and we're going to pray. The most important part of the service begins now when you leave these doors. Watch, because people are waiting for a glimpse of Christ. And that's the point. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for you giving us life. And now that you've given us life, I pray that you'll help us to break away the crust of our old ways so that there'll be less and less of us and more of you. Father, thank you for choosing us, which really makes us ambassadors now of heaven. You've given us a new life, and it's heaven sent. And Lord, so many people are looking for a glimpse of heaven. May they see that through our response, our word, the way we respond rather than react, forgive rather than get angry, overlook rather than examine and emphasize. We're so good at the old ways, and if we keep saying yes to those, it'll start to control us. And we may get to heaven, but we won't influence anybody else. And we'll always wonder why we're getting cut out of this and that. So, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be people who are understanding the ways of God, that we've been chosen, given a new life. Now it's time for us to break away from the old and give people glimpses of heaven. May it be so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Say thank you to the Lord for 13 years.